Metta Practice V1 Chapter 3 What Loving Kindness Actually Is Chapter 3 What Loving Kindness Actually Is Universal love is easy to misunderstand because the word love has been asked to carry too many things. Sometimes it means romance. Sometimes it means affection. Sometimes it means approval. Sometimes it means softness, niceness, emotional warmth, or the suspension of judgment. Used loosely enough, it can start to mean almost nothing. That vagueness is one reason many serious people distrust the term. It sounds beautiful, but also unstable. It can sound like a way of avoiding conflict, blurring standards, or sentimentalizing reality. If this book is going to claim that universal love can serve as a single governing lens for a human life, then the term has to become much more precise. A working definition. Universal love is a stable orientation of care that tries to hold self, other, and the larger whole inside the same field of concern. The word universal matters because the care does not collapse around your tribe, your image, your advantage, or your mood. The word love matters because the orientation is not cold fairness alone, detached analysis alone, or strategic management alone. It is care, but care disciplined by truth. The Pali term metta is older and more precise than the English word love. It comes from the root mitta, friend. Its closest English translation is something like warm, friendly goodwill that does not depend on getting anything back. The Sanskrit cognate maitri shares the same root. Both terms describe an orientation that is felt as warmth and expressed as care. It is friendly without being sentimental, kind without being flattering, and protective without being controlling. Throughout this book, I'll use metta, loving kindness, and universal love interchangeably. They name the same orientation. Metta is the technical term and is useful because it is uncluttered by Western connotations. Loving kindness is the most common English translation and is useful in conversation. Universal love is the most accessible philosophical handle, especially when you are talking with people who are not interested in any particular tradition. What loving kindness is not? It is easier to say what metta is by saying what it is not. Not niceness. Niceness is often a social strategy. A nice person may avoid saying what is true because they want to seem agreeable. A nice manager may fail to correct harmful behavior because they dread discomfort. A nice friend may smile through resentment until the relationship quietly corrodes. A nice culture may confuse the absence of friction with the presence of care. Love is more demanding. Love can require warmth, but it can also require clarity. It can require gentleness, but it can also require a clean no. A person governed by niceness asks, "How do I remain pleasant in this moment?" A person governed by love asks, "What serves the good here without denying reality?" Not approval. To love someone is not to validate every impulse, defend every action, or remove every consequence from their path. Love is not the permanent suspension of judgment. In fact, judgment is often part of love, provided it is governed by care rather than contempt. A teacher who never evaluates a student is not loving. A parent who never corrects a child is not loving. Approval says, "I affirm whatever is here." Love says, "I remain in care while facing what is here honestly." Not self-erasure. Many people have been trained into forms of pseudo-love that are actually self-betrayal. They over-accommodate, over-explain, over-give, and over-endure because they confuse goodness with disappearing. This cannot be the governing lens of wholeness, because it divides the person against themselves. If love is supposed to integrate life, it cannot require inner amputation. The definition matters. Universal love holds self, other, and whole together. If one is systematically sacrificed, the lens has already collapsed into something smaller. Not sentimentality. Sentimentality is love with the difficult parts removed. It wants the language of care without the structure of reality. It wants emotional uplift without cost. It wants innocence without discipline. Universal love has to survive pressure, fatigue, conflict, asymmetry, disappointment, proximity to pain, or it is not universal. Any lens can look beautiful in easy conditions. The serious question is what remains beautiful when conditions become costly. Not romance. Romantic love is wonderful. It is also conditional, exclusive, and often fragile. Metta is not the same shape of feeling. The closest analogy in the early Buddhist texts is the love a mother feels for her only child, protective, patient, unconditional, durable. This is not a feeling you can fall into. It is an orientation you can return to. What loving kindness includes. Once we strip away the misconceptions, what's left is rigorous and practical. Universal love includes the dignity of the self, the dignity of other people, regardless of whether they have earned your liking, the reality of consequences, the health of the larger whole, the role of truth in preserving relationship. What it refuses is the attempt to secure peace, success, innocence, or superiority by excluding one of those realities. Love as orientation, not emotion. Most people treat love as an emotion that arrives unpredictably. They fall into it, fall out of it, feel more or less of it, and assume that its moral significance rises and falls with their internal weather. But emotions are not strong enough to organize a life by themselves. They come and go too easily. What matters more is orientation. An orientation is something you can return to even when the emotion is absent. A parent caring for a sick child at 3 a.m. may not feel sentimental. A leader making a painful but necessary decision may not feel tender. A friend telling the truth in a difficult conversation may not feel warm. And yet each can still be acting in love. This is one of the most important practical points in this book. You do not need to feel an unbroken stream of warm feeling to live in metta. You need a stable orientation that you can return to, again and again, throughout the day. The feeling will often follow. Sometimes it won't, and that's fine. The orientation is what makes the lens reliable. That said, and this is a point traditional metta literature makes more strongly than most modern reframings of it, the feeling of loving kindness is real and can be deliberately cultivated. With practice, you can call up something close to the warm protective tenderness of a parent for a child, on demand, in almost any situation. The orientation can become felt much of the time. It just doesn't have to be felt all of the time for the practice to work. Why love, not mere fairness? Someone may object that fairness, respect, or human rights are sufficient. Why insist on love? Those frameworks matter, and nothing here asks us to discard them. But they often lack a living center. They can define limits, arbitrate claims, and protect basic dignity. But they do not always generate the felt orientation required for deep coherence. A person can act fairly while remaining inwardly cold. A person can respect rights while secretly despising the people who possess them. A person can uphold norms while living from pride, fear, or spiritual deadness. Fairness can regulate behavior. Love can unify the soul doing the behaving. Universal love does not replace justice. It gives justice a humane center. It does not replace truth. It keeps truth from becoming a weapon of ego. It does not replace boundaries. It keeps boundaries from hardening into indifference. What love sees. Every lens reveals some things and hides others. Status sees hierarchy. Fear sees threat. Resentment sees insult. Image sees audience. Extraction sees utility. Love sees beings. It sees vulnerability, dignity, interdependence, consequence, and the possibility of repair. It does not deny harm, but it refuses to reduce people to harm alone. It does not deny difference, but it refuses to turn difference into moral severance. It does not deny self-interest, but it refuses to enthrone self-interest as the final judge of what matters. This is why love integrates. It reveals more of reality at once. A note on the goal. The classical literature describes the perfected form of metta as boundless, felt for all beings, in all directions, without exception. This is the long-term goal. It is real, and it is achievable, but it is not where you start. You start where you are, with the love you can already generate for one being you actually love, and you grow it from there. We will get into the specifics in part 2. For now, what matters is that the orientation is achievable, the goal is real, and the rewards begin to appear long before you reach the end.